and to bring you forth out of her womb so that God can make you all that he called and created you to do. Flowing from my heart, I'm so grateful. Let me also take the opportunity to extend Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to take part in a mothering process. It may not be nice all the time. We may not get along all the time, but I'm thankful to be an active participant in raising up a generation of children who are seeking after God, who are doing what God has called them to do, and are transforming the world, who are loving the community, and who are committing to Christ Jesus. Some of you all have asked if my mother was coming today, and they're still in Atlanta. They'll be down there till the beginning of June. But I want you to know, Emery Grove, that my parents check on us every week. And more importantly, they're praying for us and all that God is doing here. And they anxiously anticipate being back with us once they come back from their trip down south. For our time of sharing, I would like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And we will be reading verses 20 through 24. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. If you are there, say amen. If you need a little bit more time, say wait. The Bible encourages us to study to show thyself approved, a workman who needed not being ashamed, but being able to rightly divide the word of truth. And if we don't know where the truth is, then we don't know how to rightly divide it. And so whether that's on Sunday morning, at Sunday school, whether that's on Saturday or Wednesday at the various Bible studies we have going on, we can grow together and there's plenty good room in the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the Message translation, and the subtitle in the Message Bible is Rededicating the Child to God. It said, before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, explaining, I asked God for him. When Elkanah took his family on their annual trip to Shiloh to worship God, offering sacrifices and keeping his vows, Hannah did not go. She told her husband, after the child is weaned, I'll bring him myself and present him before the Lord. And that's where he'll stay for good. Elkanah said to his wife, do what you think is best. Stay home until you have weaned him. Yes, let God complete what he has begun. Let us pray. Spirit of living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on us, your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. We pray that your word might go forth so that you might be glorified. So the people of God might be edified, and more importantly, that Satan might be horrified. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to preach very quickly from the subject, a mother's duty. Somebody say, a mother's duty. I went back and forth over the course of this week thinking about Mother's Day and the significance of Mother's Day and what it is that God would have me to say. And I want to say publicly, Pastor Warren, I have a whole new appreciation for you and having to prepare sermons week after week. Minister Newman reminded me this is my third Sunday in a row. And so I thank God for how he pours out new and refreshing words every week. But I also have an appreciation for pastors who have to stand up and do that and seek after God on a week-to-week basis. So pray for our pastor as he hears from God, as he leads us, because it's not an easy thing. But we thank God that he has a heart after God, and more importantly, a heart after growing ministry and growing the people of God so that we can be all that God has called and created us to be. It's all right to praise him. Amen. It's Mother's Day, but it's all right to praise our pastor. And so as I thought about Hannah, and as I thought about the, just to give you a little bit of background, Hannah was married to a man, and he had two different wives, and His other wife was able to conceive a child very easily, but Hannah had some issues. And so it was some tension that was created in the house as a result of one wife being able to produce children and one who didn't. And so Hannah got to the point, if you spend a little bit of time outside of church reading the beginning of the first part of this chapter, it talks about how Hannah really went before the Lord. And she went before the Lord because it really bothered her that she could not conceive a child. It really bothered her that it was a bone of contention between her and the other wife. And she really poured out before God, even to the point where the priest thought she was drunk. And I said, God, wow, that's an awesome place to get to, where we're so pressed into God and we're so pressed into needing God and needing God to move in our life that it seems like we're intoxicated. But that's not what we came to talk about today. And as we look at the life of Hannah, and as we look at the fact that not only did God hear Hannah, but he honored her request and he gave her a son named Samuel. There are two quick things that I want to point out, and especially for the mothers in the house. But I know that on Mother's Day, there's some fathers who need to be recognized as well. Because there's some fathers who serve both a mother and a father role. And so I'm not sure if we have any fathers in the house today who serve both roles, but I want you to know, even in the midst of honoring the mothers, we're also honoring you. And so there are two quick things that I want to point out to us as we look at a mother's duty on Mother's Day. And I really want to challenge us as mothers that we really look at and reevaluate the way that we mother our children. And the first thing that I want us to understand is that Hannah understood, or she knew what her duty was to her son. In the Bible, it says, after the child was weaned. And I went back and I looked up what the word wean meant, and I read several different versions of the Bible, and it said that in one translation, after he was able to get off of the breast and be able to eat food, that was the point at which he was weaned. And I know sometimes for us as mothers, it's hard for us to wean our children off of us. I know sometimes as mothers, it's hard for us to really separate ourselves from our children. It's hard for us to really kind of step back and let our children grow up because we're so used to that weaning process. Now, there's nothing wrong with the weaning process. God has given us certain facets in our body, and our anatomy and physiology is the way that it is because God has designed us to wean children. But oftentimes, Pastor Warner, where we get tied up and where we get tangled up is we don't understand when the weaning process is over. Some of us, if we really be honest with ourselves, our children are grown and out of our house, but we're still weaning them. Some of us, God has told us that it's time to wean that child out of excuses. It's time to wean that child out of mama, I need you to do. It's time to wean that child out of mama, I can't do because you didn't give me. It's time to wean that child out of excuses because God is calling them to a different place. Hannah understood her duty to her son. When he was an infant, he couldn't care for himself. He couldn't get to where he needed to go. He couldn't communicate, mommy, I was wet. And so Hannah had a responsibility in order to take care of her son. She may have had to give up some sleep at night in order to take care of her son. She may have had to miss some work in order to take care of her son. But in that weaning process, she knew that there was an end goal. It wasn't going to be that when he was 19, 20, and 12, and 13, that she was still going to have to do the same thing for him at 12 months old as she did at 12 or 22 years old. And so oftentimes as mothers, we get it twisted because it's like, my child needs me. My child needs me to make excuses for why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. My child needs me to go up to the school and talk to that teacher because I haven't taught them how to advocate for themselves. My child needs me to go to his job and make an excuse to his boss because I have not taught him how to be accountable. Hannah understood that at some point, mothers, she was going to have to stop making excuses. At some point, Samuel was going to have to go out on his own. at some point, Samuel was going to have to leave her house. And in order for that to happen, there's some things that she was going to have to do with him at 6 months in order to prepare him at 26 in order to be able to survive out in the world. I can't be mad at a child when they come back home and they say, "Mommy, I don't know how to pay my bills," when I haven't taught them financial responsibility. I can't be mad at my child when my child comes and says, "Mommy and Daddy, I need you to give me money," when I haven't taught them that as an adult, you have to be responsible for your own stuff. I can't be mad at my child when they come to me and they say, "I'm on drugs and I'm on alcohol because I'm going through my stuff in my life," when I haven't really taught them that God is a provider of everything that they need. It's our responsibility as mothers to wean our children. Not to enable them. I said before, there's a very fine line. Between weaning and enabling. And unfortunately, I see it every day when I go to work. I see it every day when I'm out in the community. I see it every day when I come to church. We're enabling our children and calling it help, and we're causing them not to be all that God has called and created them to be. We're making excuses for why they're not where they need to be. We're stressed out. We're up in the middle of the night. We're our hair is falling out. Our blood pressure is going through the roof. Our cholesterol is out of control because we're worried about so many things when God is calling us to wean our children so that they can be independent. Hannah understood that in order for Samuel to be independent, that there were some things that she was going to need to do. And she was willing to forsake going with her husband and her family so that she could get her son ready so that he could be where it is that God wanted him to be. Some of y'all may need to go home and have some conversations with your children. It's all right. Don't look around at your children if they're in the sanctuary. Some of you all may need to go up to your children's schools and say to their teachers, "My child will no longer act up in your class. I will no longer show up and make excuses for why my child is not academically performing." Some of y'all need to go down to the police station and say, "I will no longer make an excuse nor go broke in order to get my son or my daughter out of jail when we're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I would no longer go into debt, burning up credit cards, buying stuff I can't afford in order for my children to be able to say that I have the latest thing and the greatest thing when they go to school. I will not." God has called me to wean you, not to enable you. Let me say that again. God has called us to wean our children, not to enable them. God is calling you, for some of you all, to end the weaning process. Yes, your child may be of legal age, but you're still weaning them. Yes, your children may have children, but you're still weaning them. God is calling us to wean our children because as mothers, that's the responsibility that he gave us. Notice, Elkanah didn't say he was weaning Samuel. He was going off somewhere else doing what God had called him to do. But God called Hannah to wean her son because that's a mother's duty. The second thing that we need to understand is not only did Hannah know her duty to her son, but she also knew her duty to God. Somebody say, "My duty to God." In the second part of that verse, it says, "I'll bring him myself and present him before God." Mothers, when is the last time you presented your child before God? When is the last time that you presented your child to God? See, oftentimes when we present our children to God, that's when the excuses go away. Oftentimes when we present our children to God, that's when we can know that God is going to be able to keep and sustain our children. Why would you not sit present your children to God when God is the author and the finisher of our faith? He's the same God who kept your foreparents when they were over in Africa and they were beaten and they were abused and they were put in a ship and they were brought across the ocean and they were put here in a foreign land. This is the same God who kept your foreparents when they were in slavery here in the United States. The same God who kept your foremothers when the hoses were turned on them in the civil rights movement. The same God is available to us today. God is calling us to present our children to him. I'm not asking you to present them to the judge. I'm not asking you to present them to the funeral home director. I'm not asking you to present them to the drug dealer or the teacher. God is commanding us to present our children back to him. Hannah knew her responsibility to God. If we look in the earlier part of the text in chapter 1, when she asked God for Samuel, she said, God, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. And I know there may be some of you all in here who struggled to get your children. For some, it was easy. They could engage in sexual activities and bam, just like that, you got pregnant. But that's not the case for everybody. Some people may have had to go through in vitro fertilization. Some people may have to go through treatments in order to get your children. At the end of the day, whether you had them naturally or you had some help, they're still your children. That does not differentiate one mother from another. But what it does is remind us that it is our responsibility as mothers to present our children back to God. God gives them to us for a little while in order to wean them, in order to grow them up, in order to give them the skills and the abilities that they need in order to go out into the world and be productive citizens. But at the end of the day, we have to present them back to God because he gave them to us anyway. And so it may be a difference between life or death for you and your child. It may be a difference between anxiety and peace for you and your child that you offer them back to the Lord. A mother's duty. And the reason why Hannah had to understand her mother's duty was because God had a larger plan for Samuel. If you do your research and you look a little bit further, the fact that Hannah understood her responsibility to her son and the fact that Hannah understood her responsibility to God put Samuel in a place where he became a prophet, a judge, and a leader for the children of Israel. Can you imagine how many lives would have been different had Hannah not done what she was supposed to do? Can you imagine how differently the plight of the children of Israel had been if Hannah had not done what she was supposed to do? Can you imagine parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, how differently your children's lives would have been if you had offered them back to God? But the good news is, it's not too late. As long as you're living and as long as you're breathing, whether your child is 55, 65, whatever, however old they may be, we can still, as mothers, as parents, offer our children back to God. And so the invitation that I want to extend is very simple. You may ask, well, how is it that Hannah understood her role? How is it that Hannah knew what it was that God had called her to do? Because Hannah had a relationship. Hannah was able to hear the voice of God. Hannah was able to press into God and seek after God for what it is that he would have her to do with her son. And as a result of that, generations after that were blessed. Can you imagine how your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren will bless generations to come as a result of what you do? I know that may be hard for some of you all to think. But what you're doing with your life today has implications in 2050. The decisions that you make for God today, the decisions that you make to love on your children, the decisions that you make to tell them you are the head and not the tail, that you are not stupid, you will go to school and you will learn. These decisions that we make today are going to set them up for success as an adult. And so, mothers, we need to reevaluate how we're weaning our children. Some of you all need to cut off that weaning process and present your child back to God. And after we extend the invitation, we're going to have a prayer time. And I'm going to challenge every mother in this place, if your children are here, to go get your children and bring them to the altar. And if somebody's mother's not here, that some other mother would stand in the gap for that mother so that we can begin as a church to collectively pray over our children and offer them back to God. And so before I do that, and as you stand to your feet, I want to extend three invitations for you today. The first one is for those of you all who may say, Reverend Hull, I hear you, but I don't know what that first step is. And if you're in that category, I'm so glad you're here today, because I want to introduce you to a man on Mother's Day who loved you so much that he was spat on, he was beaten, he was talked about, he was ridiculed. But he died just for you, so that you could come to this place on Mother's Day, and so that I could introduce you to him, and that you could get to know him as your Lord and Savior. And so if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your heart today, we invite you to come. The second invitation that I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, Reverend Holt, I got the relationship. I got the connection, but I don't have a church home. I don't have a place where I can go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and plug in. Get refreshed and renewed to hear what it is that God has to say to me so that I can go out and be that change agent that he called me to be. And the third invitation that I want to extend is for those of you all who have been away from home. And you hear the Spirit of God saying, my son and my daughter, it's time for you to come home. As the choir sings, if there's anyone who wants to come, now is your time. Desires to save you today. He will save. Will you come and give your life to him?
He will save you just now.
Is there one who
just now? He will save you.
Is there one who will come?
He will save you just now.
At this time, mothers, we invite you to go get your children and bring them to the altar. Grandmothers, go get your children and bring them to the altar. Great grandmothers, go get your children and their children and bring them to the altar. There's somebody whose mother's not here and you want to come, there are plenty of mothers who can lay their hands on you.
Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Just now. Just now. Only trust him. Only trust.
Before I pray, what I want you to do is lay your hands on your children and begin to pray for them. Begin to give them over to God. Begin to ask God's covering and God's keeping over them. Nobody can pray for your child like you can. Ask God's keeping over them. Father God, we thank you for mothers today. God, we thank you for the love and the care that they give us. God, we thank you for how they're up in the middle of the night worried about us. God, we thank you for how they do so much for us. God, we come as mothers today committing our children to you. We pray that you might bless them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. God, we know the enemy is after our children to kill, to steal, and to destroy them. But we cancel out every dart right now in the name of Jesus. God, help us to be better mothers. God, help us to wean our children and not enable them. God, help us to grow up a generation, God, who will seek after you. God, help us to grow up a generation that will not run from the enemy, God, but will stand firm on the word. God, help us to grow up a generation of children who call out your name on a day-to-day basis. Devil, we let you know that you have no power and no authority over the lives of our children in the name of Jesus. Every bullet that you would try to bring their way, it's canceled in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of discouragement, every spirit of weariness, God, every spirit of laziness is canceled out right now in the name of Jesus. God, we will raise up a generation that is seeking after you. God, we will raise up a generation of doctors and of lawyers and of preachers and of teachers. God, we will raise up a generation of children who know you by name. God, we will not settle for mediocrity. God, we will not settle for lies. We will not settle for excuses any longer. God, we strive for excellence in everything that we do. God, in those areas where we as mothers fall short, God, build us up. God, take any guilt. God, take any doubt. God, take any weariness. God, take any frustration away from us. God, take anything away from us that would keep us from being the mothers that you have called us to be. God, we count it a privilege that you've given us these children to take care of. God, help us in those areas where we fall short. God, help us in those areas, God, where we fall short of where you want us to be. God, we come praying for that father who may be in the place of a mother. God, we honor him on today as well. God, we pray for future mothers right now, God. We pray for wombs that are going to be opened right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for the generations that are going to be birthed out of this church. God, we thank you for how the sacrifice that we make today for our children are going to have effect years and years and years down the road. God, forgive us of our sins that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly against you and our fellow mankind. This we pray in the name of Jesus. And the children of God said, amen, amen. Give your mothers a hug and tell them how much you love them.